Hi, this is Art Young, and I'm the editor of the Outpost Magazine and contributor to the Outpost Radio. Our guest today is the host of The High Road with Keith Warren, seen on the Pursuit Channel. Welcome, Keith.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I meant to be here yesterday, and I'm going to tell you, I don't like being late, but I'm exactly 24 hours late. But it's all this technology stuff. I can't get it. I just don't understand it.
Well, you know, you've learned more about hunting than I will ever know. So, you know, maybe I'll catch up with you someday in the hunting technology.
Well, let me tell you something on this technology. They just changed the. I got an iPhone, so we could send videos back and forth. But they changed the app on there, and they tease you with it. Okay, we got your new app, and everybody told me don't do it. It's like telling a kid don't touch wet paint. Well, I did it, and I can't understand anything on it.
Of course.
And then yesterday they changed the Yahoo Mail, and that's all I use, and it's like I'm lost. I'm totally lost. So I'm sorry about standing you up.
Most people think you have the best job in the world, my friend. You get to hang out in the prettiest places in the world. You get to hunt for a living. And where have you been lately, by the way?
Well, I caught a cold while I was sitting up in a tree up in Canada. I was up in Saskatchewan on a bear deer combo archery hunt, and I just got back from up there, and it was rainy and cold, but it was really good. I mean, I shot a really nice bear and a really nice deer, and got a really nice cold. So all's good except for the cold.
Yeah, and you'll hopefully grow out of that one, but you can't replace those experiences. We posted your bear that you nailed up there and got a lot of nice comments on Facebook. What is the biggest challenge of putting together a TV show you're on? You have to come up with content beyond everybody's imagination. Is the biggest challenge getting the wild game to cooperate when you're trying to videotape them, or is it the weather, or what is the biggest challenge?
All the above. I think that I push myself probably harder than I ought to, and anybody that I'm in camp with says, geez, you work hard. You doggone right I work hard. I produce a product, just like if somebody was to produce a radio show or a car or a house, and we construct a TV show. And all TV shows that are half hour long all have to get whatever they get and put it in within a half hour. If somebody's going to give me a half hour of their time to sit down and watch one of our TV shows, I want to make sure that, first off, I appreciate them doing that, but I want to make sure that we give them the best half hour that we can possibly do. And that's just not killing an animal. I mean, that's showing pretty footage. I mean, really pretty footage. Just telling a nice, compelling story. It's hopefully a motivating, energizing the people to get up and not just go on a hunting trip, but try to unite a sportsman and realize that, hey, we are the minority. There's not very many of us that hunt in the grand scheme of things. So when I go to the field to do a television show, hunting, the actual hunting part of it, that's pretty easy. It's all the other elements that go into it that I put on myself, the requirements on myself, to tell a good story. I mean, for example, I was recently on a prairie dog shoot, and I mean, how do you tell a story on a prairie dog shoot? Okay, well, the way we did this prairie dog shoot, there was I'm going to go back to two prairie dog shoots ago. We had a flood in North Dakota. I don't know if y'all remember that or not, but the summer it was flooding in North Dakota.
I do.
So when we flew in, it looked like the bayou in Louisiana. I mean, there's water everywhere. Well, that was a story. I mean, you can prairie dog hunt anywhere, but what it was is the community coming together to help the community and not waiting on a government bailout. And so anyway, we look for the story, and it has to be around, yes, a good hunt and beautiful video, but it has to be a good story.
Yeah, and you do such a good job of that. You've been doing it for more than 30 years. And by the way, if anybody's just joining us, we're talking with Keith Warren, who is the host of The High Road, seen on the Pursuit Channel. You're seen on Monday at 3 p.m., Thursday at noon, and Sunday twice at 1:30 and 8:30 p.m., and I assume that those are Eastern times?
Yes, they are. But the thing is, we're also online. Every one of our programs debuts online on my website at highroadhunting.com. And
nice.
What we do is we wind up, we have a huge amount of viewers online.
They can
wind up, they subscribe to the YouTube channel, it's free, and we put up so many cool videos. I mean, stuff that the TV network, they won't let us play, just simply because it's editorially, you know, may offend somebody. Well, you know what? I just look at it and I think, I'm tired of worrying about offending people. The sportsmen, we pretty much have thick skin, and we realize that, you know what, we're all united here, and if you make a bad shot, you know, you make a bad shot. And why cover it up? Well, the network sometimes just, they don't want us to show a lot of things. And so that's where YouTube comes in, where we wind up, we've got, like I said, we've got thousands and thousands of subscribers that we upload videos every day. And so what we want is those people to be able to download whatever they want and watch it right there.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, I'm sure you get great analytics and data on people who watch the show. And at first glance, most people would think it's all men, 35 to 55-year-old. But this is probably a pretty accurate area of your demographic. But do you see a trend towards more women and maybe even more kids watching?
No question. Absolutely no question. If you went, we can look through the analytics on our Facebook participation, for example. And the women, I mean, the numbers of women that we have, it's great. I mean, they're women are, I don't know, I look at it this way. They're looking for something really cool to do. And the outdoors is something really cool to do. But for years, I mean, like the industry just kind of, they didn't pay attention to the women. Now all of a sudden they're doing things to encourage and recruit more participation among the females. And so they are coming on board and the ratings prove it. And so what we're doing, we do a TV show. Somebody asked me the other day, I said, what's your niche? I mean, everybody seems to have a niche, you know. I mean, whether it's all bow hunting or all long distance shooting or whatever, my niche is I don't have an itch. And what I mean by that, I do it all. I hunt for everything from bullfrogs to elephants. I hunt with everything from an air gun to a handgun to a long gun and a bow and a crossbow, and I do it all. And I think I'm pretty much the average guy in that I really, truly, I do it all. I mean, yeah, I like one type of hunting over another, but I don't think that the people that do that type of hunting are any better than the other hunters. And so what we wind up doing, we try to keep away from fragmenting sportsmen. I see that sportsmen, there's so few of us out there in the grand scheme of things, that we need to look for reasons to unite rather than things that polarize us and separate us. And by a lot of these people wind up, they just put down, they'll be archers, and they wind up putting down, you know, guys that hunt with guns. And I think that's silly, because most people that hunt with bows started with a gun, and they just elevated up to the point that now they're hunting with a, you know, with a bow.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all hunters, and we all need to put a common thread that unites us, and so I have no niche. I do it all.
Well, how about kids? I grew up on a farm in Texas and had the opportunity to go outside every day, and most kids live in the city now. And how do you get them interested in hunting and fishing?
People have changed, as you well know. We all want things right now, and I mean right now, whether you have a slow internet connection or, you know, I mean, think about it. We're all victims of this fast-paced world, and kids are really victims of it. I mean, sit back and go to a restaurant or an airport. I do a lot of traveling, and I do a lot of observation. I watch kids are not connected with their parents because they have that electric joy toy in their hand where they're communicating virtually rather than real, you know, realistically and in reality. And so the outdoors, for me, kids, when you get the kids outdoors, it's a scary thing because the kids don't know what reality is. The kids don't know what it's like to get a sunburn or feel hurt underneath their fingernails or get a callus. They don't. I take a look at a lot of these kids, and I think they're just as white as a sheet of paper. They don't get outside. And so by getting kids outside with something that is stimulating, we've got to stimulate these kids where they really get it, man, really quick, because like I said, we're in a fast-paced world. When we can do that, I think we can get these kids hooked. And you've got old-timers that, oh, that's not right. You need to start them out slow. Well, if you start them out too slow, guess what? They're going to go do something else. They're going to play golf or tennis or something else. And nothing wrong with that. It's just they're not going to be probably fishing. And so what their products, like there's a product called Tannerite. I don't know if you know what that is or not, but it's an explosive product that it only goes off when you wind up shooting it with a high-caliber rifle. you wind up shooting that, and it's an explosion. I mean, it's very safe. It's harmless, but it's a big explosion. And when a kid shoots that and makes that explosion go off, it's instant gratification, and they want to do it again.
Yep.
So I look for ways to get kids involved that are exciting.
Yeah, that's a good strategy. You have been introducing people to the great outdoors for many, many years. I know you've been asked this before, and you probably, well, I think I know what you're going to say, too, but do you have a favorite kind of hunting? Is it ducks, turkey, deer, elk, bear, any kind of nothing special, or you just like it all?
I like it all. I mean, they all have got some really cool stuff about them. I mean, I love an elk hunt. You know, an elk hunt, well, I love turkey hunting, but elk hunting is like turkey hunting, except they weigh 700 to 800 pounds, and, you know, and they can smell you. And they're really big. Duck hunting is exciting. I love bow hunting, but I like the challenge of getting them in close. I love long gun hunting because I like the challenge of shooting something at way at a distance. I like it all.
Yeah. What would you think is the biggest, if you could tell hunters who don't get out there every day like you do, is there one or two things you could tell someone like me who probably doesn't hunt but three or four, five, six times a year? What could I do to improve my experience or improve my results?
Well, that's a good question. First off, I think if you're going to go out, you're going to go out with an outfitter, I would do a lot of research. You can get online right now, and you can Google anybody and read about them. Read about the area that you're going. Read about maybe comments that the people have been with them. Make sure and do your homework, because all too many times people wind up taking a chance, keeping their fingers crossed, and they go on a trip, and they come back with a bad experience. They wasted the time, they wasted the money, and now they're very upset. Well, with today's information age, the only person to be upset at is themselves. And so do your homework if you're going to hire an outfitter. If you're not going to hire an outfitter, and you're just going to go out there and you're going to go fishing for the weekend, I think, or hunting for the weekend, the most important thing, I mean, when it all boils down to it, is we want to have fun. I mean, that's why we go. We're not going to kill a giant trophy. I mean, yeah, we want to kill a big trophy, but we want to have fun. We want to create memories. And so I think that we need to break it down and say, what are our expectations? What do we truly want out of this? Do we want to sit around a campfire and when we look back at this hunt, you know, 20 years, 30 years from now, don't we want to say, man, I remember that night we were sitting by the campfire and telling stories and, you know, I mean, do we remember that? Or, you know, do we remember a deer jumping over the fence? For me, I remember the camaraderie. And it's just, it's the joy of the hunt or the joy of the fishing trip. And so what I would just recommend is don't forget the fun, because it's supposed to be fun. Because when people stop having fun, they stop doing it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, great advice. Great advice. You know, I read in a well-known hunting and fishing publication a couple of days ago, the Wall Street Journal, known by all as a prominent hunting and fishing journal, that there was some controversy associated with silencers on rifles. I know you. I suspect you have some better opinions about this than the writer in the Wall Street Journal, but basically it boils down to the regulators, the ATF, and the law enforcement want more background checks before someone can buy a silencer. The argument from the industry, from the firearm industry, is it saves your hearing if you have a silencer on it. What is it about this? How do you feel about silencers? Is that just a made-up controversy, or is that something that is a legitimate concern on law enforcement?
I think it's so made up. I think that it's just like the controversy about crossbows. People think they get all this accurate information from watching TV and movies, and it's not true. These are not silencers. These are noise suppressors. These are devices that reduce the amount of sound that a gun puts out. Okay? I mean, it's like you watch movies and say, crossbow, it kills things at 100 and something yards. No, it doesn't. That's the movies. That you know, you see guys with these suppressors that make no noise. They really make noise. Now, they may not make very much noise, but they do make noise. Okay, now, there are reasons to have suppressors. I mean, and obviously, I mean, the NRA has been behind trying to get suppressors legalized for big game hunting in a lot of states. And, I mean, Texas, they were successful. And the argument was that First off, with the urbanization and the sprawling of the homes and the subdivisions in these areas that the deer live in, there are a lot of people that don't like the sound of a gun going off. Okay, so a suppressor comes in really handy there. If you're going to shoot a rifle with a suppressor, you better be shooting subsonic ammo. And the reason why is because it's designed for subsonic ammo. It's the only thing that's going to really reduce the sound on. But there's so many different things about the suppressors, and I think that people, before they start making their opinion on it, learn about it. Don't learn about it by reading the Wall Street Journal and listening to one side. I mean, I think that educated people make better decisions. And if you've got a question about suppressors, contact the suppressor company. I deal with a company called Dark Horse Arms out of Texas. They built me, I guess I've got a half a dozen of them. And they are cool. But you know what? I don't use them very often, but they're cool. And I had to go through a rigorous background check. And I'm thinking, I don't know how many more background checks is going to make somebody happy. But, I mean, I'm thinking waiting 6 months plus is a pretty strong waiting period for a background check, if you ask me.
Yeah, it is a long time. And did you have to get a permit for it?
Excuse me?
Do you have to get a permit for it, or is it to buy? I mean, was it like you go to the, if you were going to the store, they would do the background check at the store? Is that how that works?
No, it's a permit. You've got to apply for it with the feds. And, you know, it takes a long time. I mean, it's, I guess, like a CHL. When you go get your CHL, you can steal a handgun license. They do a background check. Well, the same thing as they're doing with the suppressors, except, you know, it takes, like I said, 6 months plus, and that's when the government is open. So I don't know how long it's going to take now, but, I mean.
Maybe a while. We're visiting with Keith Warren, who's the host of The High Road, seen on the Pursuit Channel. Unbelievably good show. If you haven't seen it, I don't know where you've been the last 30 years, but Keith has been putting out quality hunting information. And I mean, I like to think of it as adventures. I mean, he goes on adventures. And I'm wondering, Keith, where is the next cool places we can look for? I know you tape these shows in advance, but if someone is planning on watching the Pursuit Channel and the High Road, what can they expect to see here in the next few weeks? What cool places are you going to?
Oh, my goodness. First off, if they followed me on Facebook, they know exactly where I am every day.
All right,
okay,
good.
We just got back to New Zealand, and that was the most awesome trip. I went over there years ago, and I had a wonderful time, and the outfitter kept asking me to come back. I said, oh, I've been there, done that. Well, I've been back three more times. So, I mean, it's a beautiful country, beautiful people. The animals are magnificent. They're real friendly towards Americans, and we've got some killer shows coming from over there. This Canada trip we just came back from, I had the most incredible thing happen on video. I wound up, I shot a buck. I mean, he was 16 yards away, and it was a 175-inch deer. It's a really big deer, but this deer's right underneath my tree, and I shot him. The arrow went through him, and, you know, it went through him so fast that the buck jumped about 4 feet in the air. And then he takes off, and he steps about 2 feet, and he looks at the arrow sticking in the ground. And then he falls over dead. He had no idea that he was hit.
Wow.
It was the most incredible thing. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I don't know how many animals I've shot with an arrow, but I mean, I've shot a lot, but I've never seen anything like that. But that's one of those things, again, that turns off TV. More than likely, the network is not going to let us put that on. But on my YouTube channel, they'll see it in its entirety, and we debut everything on my YouTube channel. So they don't have to wait till it goes on TV to see it. See, we have worldwide distribution now thanks to the Internet. So if anybody's listening and they want to watch our show, just go to highroadhunting.com, and we've got a link right to all the videos.
That's great. That's great. Well, Keith, thank you so much for making the time for us today.